Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Today's Corolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. As the occurrence of identity scams continue to increase, more people are looking for ways to protect themselves from cyber criminals. In fact, 60% of Americans believe it is likely that identity theft will cause them a financial loss in the next year. So it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cyber criminal could harm what's yours, your finances, your credit. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert. You have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. If you become a victim, you gotta check it out. It's LifeLock. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for April 17th, 2021. We're going to play some highlights of the Adam Carolla Show. Hope you're having a nice weekend. We're going to make it even better. My name is Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Corolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Just got back from Nashville. Hope everyone enjoyed the live show with Jason Whitlock and Nate Bargatze. Probably one of my favorite shows of the year.
Is very good.
Yeah, killed it. Well, let's go back in time, though. Let's take everyone back to 2009. This is June of 2009, just a few months after the podcast premiered, and Adam had his old news girl, Teresa Strasser, on, and Bald Brian. They did some catching up.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 77, Teresa Strasser, Bald Brian. This one is June 2009, as Chris said. It's the first half of the show. Tomorrow, in the Carolla Classics feed, we'll play part two with Teresa's news. Until then, check this out.
Happy to welcome back to the podcast Teresa Strasser and Bald Brian. It's good to see you guys. It's been a couple of days.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
It's so good to be here. I miss us.
Teresa, everyone loves these shows. It's easy and it just feels like a nice warm slipper. Nicely broken in. So, Teresa, you're in month number what of your pregnancy?
I'm in month number 5.
Mm-hmm.
But my boobs are in month number 9.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Nice. And Brian, how's your health?
Oh, I'm hanging in. I'm doing good, man. I'm halfway done with treatment. I started at week number 4 out of 6 today, and I feel good. I mean, my brain tumor symptoms are getting kind of worse, but talked to the doctor about it. He said that's totally normal, that he totally expected to get the radiation, and it's going to make it seem worse at times, but eventually it should get better.
So what happens is the radiation sort of activates the tumor or the symptoms a little bit?
Yes, exactly. It swells your brain, makes it kind of like feel worse, and the symptoms can get worse. But, you know, the way I think about it, the way I guess it makes sense to me is imagine if you were a tumor, and if you're getting radiated every day, you're gonna thrash about and scramble too.
Yeah,
you know?
I would swell.
Yeah,
that was like junior high for me.
That's right.
You felt like a tumor.
Yeah, I did. I felt like a cancer that was trying to be carved out of my house.
Oh, we have something in common.
So if you see Brian, I would say his movements are sort of deliberate, kind of have that old man at the supermarket look.
I feel drunk all the time, you know what I mean? Like, I can compare it to how you feel when you feel drunk. You're like, oh, steady, you know, gotta steady yourself and hold on to things. I got a little dizziness. But, It's the doctor said it's normal, and if they say it's normal, then I'm...
Yeah, it sounds positive because they're radiating, they're pulverizing the bad stuff,
yeah.
And that's making it swell a little.
And you know, like, it psychologically, it almost feels good to know that things are working and things are happening. You know,
yes,
it's like it feels
movement.
Like progress being made.
Yes, and how about driving?
Drive very deliberately and cautiously. It's like being a first-time driver. It's like you really got to like pay attention to the road. I don't do a lot of music and stuff. It's really... I let Christy, my fiance, do most of the driving, and she's happy to do it. But times like this, you know, it feels good. Feels good to be normal. Feels good to get behind the wheel and drive, you know, deliberately and cautiously. And
so you're able. So now you have another few weeks left. You're halfway into the cycle.
Yeah, I got 3 weeks left.
3 weeks left on a 6 week cycle, and then you take how long off?
I get about 4 weeks off from everything, and the radiation is done after 6 weeks. Apparently, you can only do radiation once. It's a one-time deal. So the radiation is done after these 6 weeks, and then I get a four-week break, at which point I go back on the chemotherapy, and that's only 5 days out of 30. So they're short cycles for chemotherapy.
How many cycles do you do?
I think it's an indefinite thing. Adam was talking earlier on an earlier broadcast about Dr. Bruce's sister, Donna, if I can use her first name. She had a very similar tumor to what I have, and actually I think she still has it. You know, they were able to get under control with the radiation and the chemo. She did the exact same thing that I did, and this was like 8 years ago. And I talked to her at your...
Did she do the chemo and the radiation?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
I didn't know she did that.
She talked to my parents and my fiance for a long time because I think they had a lot of questions for her, how to go and how's it going. And she's, you know, as normal as can be, and that's the goal for me.
She looks great.
The
road.
Yeah. These tumors somehow get started very early on, but then sometimes the symptoms don't present themselves until later on in life.
Yeah.
In her case, it was probably not till she was 45.
And if I could thank Dr. Bruce, he already thanked him, but he was the guy that called me right away and, you know, was like, checked in on me. He's like, hey, my sister has what you have, and if you want to talk to her, that'd be great. And
Drew did have his publicist call you and send over a generic fruit basket, did he not?
He had a muffin basket, and he might have Twittered.
Yeah, I got an edible arrangement from Drew. It wasn't signed Drew, it had printed Drew.
Right, but it's fruit. That looks like flowers.
Yeah. No, so I don't love that.
Dr. Bruce is a great guy who seems to have sort of boundless energy for other people's junk, just not so much his own, and who has weird kids who were over at my house the other day. Let me just change the subject here to. But look, what's wrong with kids today? I know. I just sound like Officer Klamsky from the 50s, Kransky or whatever, Pops Corolla. But I mean,
kids.
First off, this is all comes off the heels of Jimmy's son got pulled over, I believe, on the way back from my wife said, you know, Jimmy's son got pulled over on the way back from the Malibu kegger on the freeway, and I said, oh, Jesus, was he drunk? Was he weaving? Was he speeding? No, he was going 40 on the 101, and the cop, and I launched into, what the fuck is wrong? Like, Donnie, when you were 16 or 17, you were doing e-brakes, Brodies, 360s, on the lawn doing donuts, right?
It was a different time period.
I know, but I'm just saying, so I go from that to, you know, when I'm talking to Dr. Bruce's kids, and I'm like, we're going to order pizza for him. I'm like, well, you know, his son is, I don't know, 10, 11, his daughter's like 14. What do you like on your pizza? I don't know. Well, what do you like? I don't know. Well, what's your favorite topping? It doesn't matter. Well, okay, I know it doesn't matter, but just go ahead and shout one out. I mean, you must have a favorite. Not really.
I like the Despair Lover's pizza.
Yeah. I like Tears. I like the salty brine of Tears.
That's right.
Do you have Orphan Tears?
I don't like crazy bread, but I don't mind sad bread.
What? I want half Orphan Tears and half the broken backs of widows who've been forced to work after their husbands died in mines. Like... So here's, and then every argument I get to my wife goes like this. Well, you got to have one you like. Adam, leave them alone. I'm not attacking. I'm just saying, is it pineapple and...
Like sausage? What? Pepperoni?
What do you like?
Quit badgering them where things they like.
I know, and then it becomes this, yeah, stop badgering them, leave them alone. When I was 14, if someone said, you know... First off, what do you want on your pizza? I'd be like, pizza? We're getting pizza? Can we get two pizzas? What's going on? I'll have everything. Put everything on there. Like, put everything but anchovies on there. Like, put everything on the pizza. Yeah. And then if someone had, like, nailed me down, I would have given them 15 things I like on a pizza and then asked if we could get a Coke. Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, I can't tell you how many kids I've said, like, they've come into my house and they're the kids of parents who come over, and you go, "Ah, you want an orange juice or a Coke or Sprite or 7-Up? No, thanks." What?
Who turns down a free soft drink?
When you were fucking 12, if someone said, "Do you want a root beer?" Would it be like, "No, thanks, old man"? Like, really?
You know what was the height of fine dining? Like, when we went out and we could order a soft drink with our dinner?
Yes.
That felt like the most luxurious thing. Like, to me, to this day, I still love drinking out of a straw. Because I associate that with, you know, a paid-for drink.
Totally.
And was there a scenario that you could remember that, like if I was 12 and I just did some sort of Dad's Presents the Root Beer Consumption Competition from Coney Island done on Memorial Day, and I just drank 70 liters of root beer and then yacked it all up through my nose. If I showed up at one of my friend's house and they offered me a root beer, I still would have taken it and said, I'll drink it later.
Right, yeah.
There's no scenario under which I would have gone nah. And I offer kids like Cokes, root beers, you want some cookies, you want some candy.
Don't you also think that the kids' taste is different? Like, there's not regular Coke that you've grown up with. There's so many varieties of drinks. Maybe they're just into a...
I think kids are just douchebags now. I really think they're just assholes.
Do you offer them any of the other things that you yourself would have liked as a teenager? Like, look, here's a Playboy. Would you like to see, I don't know who this woman is, but she's nude in the middle. Take a look. She's a Swedish supermodel.
I don't like, I can't tell you all the kids. Like, I had this happen with Jimmy's kid. I've had it happen with Bruce's kid where I've like, hey, why don't you grab the football and we'll go toss it around? I don't think so. What? I know it's a different time. I know everyone has video games and everyone has real things they can do and computers and the internet and all that kind of shit. But the root beer or the Coke? No thanks.
Plus, when you were younger, you had that one maybe like father or family you went over and they're like, would you like it? And you're like, yes, whatever you got, I'll take. Because you only got good stuff. You got root beer, Coke, something. It's not going to be some crappy soda, some... juice.
I'm trying to think of the number of things, especially food items, I've turned down. Like when I was 12, if I came into someone's house and they went, hey, do you want tuberculosis? I would have been like, yeah, awesome.
Is that crunchy or is that something that's more sweet?
It's kind of mucusy. I'll take it.
That sounds good. Do you have any consumption?
I know. It's just, what is the casual, I don't care what's on my pizza. First off, no general excitement over pizza.
Right.
I would have shouted the word pizza at least 12 times. Pizza, pizza, we're doing pizza. Who's it? And then there would have been questions like, who's getting the pizza and why aren't they gone? And the other, I'll take it a step further. Not only the pizza stuff, not only the Coke stuff, but I have a warehouse here and there's like mini bikes and dune buggies and shit like that. And my friend's kids walk through here all the time, barely give it a second look. If I was 10 or 13 or 9 and I walked through my warehouse, I'd be like, what's going on with that mini bike? Whose mini bike is that? What's that? Does it run? Does it run? Can we ride it? Can we ride it? Whose mini bike? Whose go-kart is that? Who's going to go on that go-kart? You know what I need? I need a root beer, I need some pizza, and I need a go-kart right now. What's going on with that go-kart? Does it run? Whose is that? Like, first question would always be, whose is that? How does it work?
Can I use
and
it?
When can we get it out to the fucking parking lot? Not, uh-huh. I mean, kids walk through my warehouse, they just step right over the go-kart, like, keep walking. Donnie, am I making this up?
You're absolutely right.
What the fuck is wrong with everybody?
I don't know. Like, in our day, it was like a panic, like there was a fire, an emergency, if you saw something interesting that you wanted to kind of take.
If I walked into some kid's garage, and he had Honda XR75, like, leaning against the bench, or mini bike, or go-kart, I would have been like, huh? What is this? Whose is this? Where does it go? When can we do this?
It would have been emanating light.
Yeah, when they're like, the garage door would open, shaft of light, I'd be holding my hand up to shield it from my face, there's a mini bike, nah.
You actually might have thought that you were dead.
Yes, I've died and gone to mini bike heaven.
Because I can't be alive because I'm the like latchkey, grape nuts, single mom kid.
Right. I couldn't. Now, what is going on? It's not just, I mean, everyone goes, people have money now, or people don't give a...
And you want to scream at the kids, you're like, please, please react to my recaptured youth. And
right.
And they're like, fair.
I'm offering you pizza. I need you to react.
What is going on? Well, you know, the females I give a pass to, but the males stepping right over the mini bikes, walking right past the go-karts, right past the soda, and right past the pizza. Nothing. And an age range of 9-year-old or even 7-year-old to like 15-years-old, not an interest. No, by the way, the whole reason I know how to ride a unicycle is because my dad went to his girlfriend's house in, you know, 1977, and there was a unicycle sitting in the kid's room, and I was like, "What is this? What is this?
I love this.
It's a unicycle." And the kid wasn't home, and no one was around, and I'm sure my dad just wanted to, you know, make out on the sofa or something. So I said, "I will take this unicycle. I will go out into the sidewalk. I'll hang on to the side of a tree or a car fender, and I'll teach myself to ride it for the next 2 hours." And I was like, "Yeah, go ahead."
To this day, even though I'm like, you know, pushing 40 up a hill, or I should say 30, I see a Malibu Dream House or like those pink Barbie Corvettes, something in me wants to touch it and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still magical.
Is stuff too, like, plentiful? Because it's not really about money. I mean, shit is cheap now, and toys are cheap, and I also feel like there's no season for buying toys. It's like there was duck hunting season, and you could only hunt ducks during these months, and now it's open season. Right. And like my wife was saying to me a month ago, we got to get the kids a swing set. They want a swing set. They want to play on the swings. They want to get a big swing with a jungle gym and a slide. And I said, well, their birthday's coming up. Oh, well, we'll get it for them now. I said, why don't we wait a month and we'll give it to them for their birthday? But they want the swing set now. I know, but there's this thing that you get gifts on your birthday and you get gifts for Christmas.
You
and
build
you get
up gift anticipation.
Right.
And then it has meaning.
It's called foreplay.
Right.
Well, it really is.
Hey, Teresa, when did you get your ears pierced, or do you have your ears pierced?
Yeah, I got my ears pierced when I was probably 9 or 10.
Because I'm going to wait with my daughters. I'm going to wait till they're somewhere around 10 before they get their ears
pierced. I couldn't wait. I could not wait to get my ears pierced. But I think
wasn't
I had
it a bigger build, though?
There was a build. I think I had to keep my room clean for a month every
Why?
Day.
Why? Your daughters want to get their ears pierced?
No, they have no realization of it yet. But it's like, you know, I think a lot of kids today, the parents are just giving them the ear piercing.
Well, those are Mexicans. You know. They get their ear pierced when they're 4.
No, I think there's a lot
of girls.
Unless
you're going to be pregnant at 12, you better get your ears pierced. Better get that out of the way.
Nani, do your girls, Fiona and Charlie, play with dolls?
Yes, they love dolls. They're girls. They're girly girls.
Yeah, my son, you can threaten him by, like, you come at him with something pink,
right, soft.
And it's like coming at Count Dracula with a cross. Like, no, no, no. And my daughters ran around like a whore with the makeup spread out like a drunken horse. She's applying her own makeup.
Oh, good.
And by the way, these gifts, like, hey, and this is, you know, we're talking about Dr. Bruce. There's a couple of horrible, horrible gifts. My sister got them gifts that you've heard me complain about before, which is the plastic food. It's little miniature hot dogs.
Oh, yeah,
it's miniature watermelons, all this stuff. First off, obviously you can choke on this shit.
Right.
Secondly, it's all filled with melamine and shit from China. I mean, I'm sure it's just plastic. I mean, do you really want your 2-year-old just gnawing on plastic? God knows what kind of weird resins and shit is in there. That's just the plastic. Right. Forget about the orange dye number 15 that's on the hot dog that comes from China out of the tainted batch of paint over there. But then thirdly, what message are you sending? Here's a hot dog. These are what hot dogs taste like. Weird, plasticky taste. Like, so this sort of game or this gift of, we're going to get fake food to fuck with the kids who are going to put it in their mouth and possibly choke on it.
Right.
And at least, best case scenario, they'll get a little brain damage from taking on some of the...
Brian is sitting right here.
He doesn't have damage.
not yet. I'm going to Vegas this weekend for a bachelor party, so God willing, I'll come back with some brain damage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Great place to be stumbly.
My fantasy is that you'll be stumbly.
Right.
And then some bartender will be a real asshole and say, sir, you got to go.
You would have served.
And then you'll say, you know what? I know I seem drunk, but I have a brain tumor.
I'm going to get to the craft table and knock over a stack of chips. Totally sober, by the way. I'd be like, all assembly. And they're like, sir, you've been over served. Please step away from the craft table.
Can you drink at all, by the way?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, good.
I mean, the doctor, it sounds silly. The doctor's like, you know, best not to get wasted if you can. And I said, okay. But the last thing I want to do right now is get wasted because I feel drunk and I walk around.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So this will be a fun experiment.
So the second worst gift you can get besides the fake food is the fake little makeup kit, like the Dolly Parton makeup kit. Because my daughter's smearing the shit all over her face. And not only all over her face, all over the counter, all over the floor, all over the drapes. The shit is getting all over the fucking place. And what do you, so you get to teach your kid how to be a trollop. This is awesome.
And three-year-olds don't have really tasteful ideas about their makeup.
No.
You know?
Bigger's better.
Yeah, in my I think probably kindergarten class picture, so maybe I'm five, I have a full face of makeup.
Really?
And I looked at it later. I asked my mom, like, why did you let me go to school like that? And she said, well, it was picture day, and you were really enthusiastic, and you had to get into the makeup. But I had, like, what? I mean, I look like a hooer. I had, like, red cheeks and blue eyes, and I think I tried to feather my hair a little bit.
Yes, you don't – there's not a lot of subtlety at that age.
I wasn't
with,
doing shading.
With anything. And so she's got that smeared all over her face, and he's playing with the trucks, and he has no interest in that shit. And as a matter of fact, we'll start screaming if she comes near him with that stuff. I mean, you have no idea how much this shit is cemented in, how early and how often. And I just can't, and I know I've screamed about this many, many times, but I just can't believe growing up in the 70s that we bought, at least a small retarded segment of our culture bought this idea that this was foisted on us by the man. When they come out of the hatch and the girls make a beeline for the Barbie dolls and the boys make a beeline for the Tonka trucks, and that's 99% of it. Once in a while, you get one of the Arquettes who's a little bit confused about which one to fuck with. But for the most part, you have two daughters, so you don't know. If you had a son, he'd be nuts for the trains, nuts for the Tonka trucks, and by the way, nuts for solitude. Just solitude. Leave me the fuck alone. I got my trains. Clear out of here. I don't want to be bothered. Whereas the daughter just follows you around, tugging. And by the way,
leaving makeup smears on your pants.
And playing you. Just, you know, she's got a dolly. She's got her own dolly. Her dolly's sleeping. She's telling me to be quiet. The dolly's sleeping. She wants the dolly. She doesn't want this blankie. She wants that blankie. She doesn't want the mermaid outfit. She wants the princess outfit. Put the princess outfit on me. Get the second you leave something behind, go get it. Go get it. You know, she goes to the car. I want my sippy cup. Here's your sippy cup. No, not the Jasmine sippy cup, the Little Mermaid sippy cup. Oh, just use this sippy cup. See, he doesn't have those rules because he just cares that he only wants water. She doesn't want water because there's water in the Jasmine sippy cup.
Right,
she wants to manipulate you and get you to go back into the house and go get the other sippy cup for her.
Yeah, but she melts your heart.
She does, and as I've said on the podcast before, the way she, you know, it's nap time. The difference between men and women, it's nap time, and Olga the nanny says, Sonny, give Daddy a kiss, good night, and he won't come in, hi, Daddy, and he gives me a big kiss, and he goes off to the room, and then Natalia, give Daddy a kiss, no. Daddy, give Daddy a kiss before nap time, no. Kiss Daddy before, no. Not going to do it until Olga says, well, then that's my daddy, and I'm going to give him a kiss, and you don't kiss him because that. And then she looks at Olga and gives her a look like, fuck off, bitch. And she walks right over and gives me a kiss and then gives Olga another look. And then Olga goes, don't kiss him again. Oh, yeah? Gives him another look? Like, you love it, don't you, bitch? Gives me a second kiss and then goes to bed. That's how she gets the kiss. But this, she's not even three yet in starting the manipulation.
My baby just started kicking just sitting here talking about
really?
It. My little boy's like, don't worry. I'm not going to pull that shit on you.
That will be me.
Guys, you know, here's what I would say about guys. Self-contained. Just can go off down to the workshop, into the garage, off to the warehouse, and just spend 5 hours there with nothing but the talk radio going.
Low maintenance.
Low maintenance.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't require a lot of upkeep.
I feel like I just swallowed a cell phone and somebody's calling me and it's on vibrate.
Really?
That's how it feels.
Baby's yeah, it's kicking great. Away. Really?
Yeah, he like, yeah, that or like popcorn.
Is it, are you in good enough condition to try some news?
Well, I mean, the bar's pretty low for me, I think, at this point. So I think, yeah.
We were, you know, with the reunion and all, we thought we'd try some news, we'd try some Skype calls as well. But Teresa brought in some news. That's what I love about her. Nice prep.
I'm all ready. Oh, no music.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
No, wow. No music.
Can you hum something, Brian?
I heard how it goes.
I had a fantasy yesterday that I think I emailed Brian that we could have Isaac Hayes back.
Because I really feel
like with everything going on with Brian's health,
right.
I mean, doctors know things, but not like Isaac Hayes knows things.
Yes.
Isaac is clairvoyant to an extent.
Yeah, I want to ask him, like, is Brian going to be okay, and are these symptoms going to diminish? And I want to ask him about my baby. Like,
he really had a magic 8-ball, like, quality to him. He really, he looked like one.
Yeah. He did.
But and, he also had the same cadence.
Yeah, and now he's like an angel looking down. Like, I want to know, you know, is my baby going to be healthy, and is he going to love me? And
it's good.
Yeah, it's good, you know? Yeah. I miss it, but maybe we can work on that.
I'll work on that.
Can you get into heaven with a chainmail vest?
At least on, purgatory.
Like, I don't know how St. Peter works, but if I saw Isaac Hayes, I'd need to see some ID. Like, whoa.
Listen, I don't think you know exactly who he is.
We don't need your kind of trouble. Grammy Award winning.
Oh, Scientologist.
Sorry, Isaac.
Yeah. All right, in brief, before I launch
it's got to be a weird move. Like, St. Peter's over there at the gate, and he's got his hand on that lever with the hatch. And he sees the huge black bald guy in the chainmail vest come walking
Moses.
Up. And he sees the black Moses. And so you see his hands start to move toward the... And then he's like, Mr. Hayes. Oh, Graham. I see you have Graham. You see his hand slide off the lever. Oh, Scientologist. Ooh, you see the hand start to slide back toward the hatch again.
Okay, so in brief, before I launch into some news, I have to thank your listeners. Your podcast listeners are amazing. First of all, how many of them showed up to Shakespeare at your house?
That was awesome. There were really a lot of people there, and they were also nice.
Yeah, they were all really, really nice. And then last time I was here, we talked about names for a little baby no name. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people logged on to exploitingmybaby.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 223 name suggestions from your fans. So I just wanted to tell you that the most popular of those, by the way, 16 people pro-James. They don't think James will be Jim. A lot of people pro-Shane. You guys like Shane.
They don't think James will be Jim?
Yeah, they say that that's the older generation of James, that those guys are Jim. But now James can retain their Jamesness.
Mm. You have to work at it.
They have work at it. But your listeners like Andrew, Elijah, and Ryan. And then second, they like Jake, Ian, Declan, and William.
Declan... Pretentious.
Pretentious.
William is fine, but that turns into a Bill. Ryan, I don't know. I just feel we don't need another Ryan.
No. I like Jake.
Jake's cute.
Jake's solid, but you know what? Jake and Max had a sort of renaissance a few years ago, and they got kind of fucked out
I think
a little.
Jake may be the most Jacob is the most popular boy's name.
Oh, yeah. Jake works well with your last name.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And Andrew's great. Nicknamed Drew. He doesn't love that.
He'll be Andy.
Drew is an Andrew, isn't it?
Yeah, Drew is an Andrew, I think.
Yeah, I never really even done that math. And by the way, you should only get one because Andrew has Andy, right? Andrew?
Yeah.
You've taken your name and whacked into that many pieces?
Yeah. I know.
Adam's got nothing.
I know.
You didn't have one.
You got two names coming and going, with Andrew.
Yeah. And secondly, so I've gotten a lot of traffic lately on my site, not only from your listeners, thank you, but from, I ended up on a fetish website.
Oh, really?
Breastexpansion.net. Nice. But I'll take it. Like, a link is a link.
Sure.
But it's very bizarre.
What's that website again?
Breast Expansion.
I don't know. It's like Teresa.
Oh, yeah.
I guess there are people who are very fascinated with women whose breasts grow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which pregnancy will cause.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, perhaps more than others.
Yeah.
And perhaps an outlier in that regard, because I'm up a couple cup sizes.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
About to head into a D.
How's that work? Do you have to buy new bras?
Yeah. In fact, I bought a C cup, and then I was just sitting there. I promise I'll get to the news. I was just sitting there.
This is news.
Having coffee. Yeah. I was having coffee with a friend at an outdoor cafe, and I was just sitting stock still, and then maybe I exhaled, and maybe I pitched like 4 degrees forward. My front clasp bra just popped open. It just burst open.
Wow.
Hold on, slow down.
In public. But I mean, I'm used to being in an A cup. I didn't even wear a bra. I didn't have to wear a bra. And now I've got to get my tits back in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm out in public and I don't, and I got to wrangle them. And anyway, I wrote about the experience of just all of a sudden having boobs, and somebody linked to it on this fetish site, and now I'm getting a lot of traffic.
It'd be cool if there was some sort of condition that you could go through as a dude for 9 months where your cock grew.
Well, I was thinking,
like,
yeah.
Like
I put on your underwear.
I put on 4 inches of length and 2.5 inches of girth. Yeah.
Don't worry, it'll go away.
Yeah, no, I had to switch from the midways to briefs. I had to step up a size.
That's a lunch of the friend.
Yeah. Just burst out of my pants.
And I started laughing, and my cock shot out of my fly.
tore my underwear wide open.
And the thing is, you know, that your cock gets a little swollen. It gets a little chafed against your pants. But I think more analogous would be just suddenly having giant balls. Because you think, oh, big balls. Metaphorically, everyone wants big balls. But you don't really.
No, but here's the thing. Women don't lust after big balls.
That's true.
Otherwise, I would hang them out of my shorts.
That's another fetish.
You know, women going, man, that guy's got, you know, he's ugly and he's dumb.
But have you seen his balls?
He's on disability, but he has a mammoth scrotum sack. And I'm so enamored with
it. Why is she with him?
Come on.
Two reasons.
It's either the nose candy or the sack candy. Yeah. Oh, I just want to go myself and bury myself in his huge balls. Now, I've never even heard a woman bring up balls.
I'd imagine they'd be totally neutral.
I think they're very adorable. I don't mind balls.
I know, but I mean, but it's never gonna. You're not gonna close a deal.
No.
It's like, here's the thing. I've said this about balls many times.
This sounded great.
No, I'm serious. You could take George Clooney and Brad Pitt's balls.
Done.
And Johnny Depp's balls, and put them through a hole in a piece of plywood. And probably one of the worst picture opportunities at Coney Island.
Sure.
But you just shove their sack through that and just let it dangle through this thing. And then you could take George Wendt's balls.
Right.
And you could take
John Goodman's
balls and
Eli Wallach.
Yeah, Eli Wallach, one of the least
John
attractive.
Let's just go with the whole class of years. Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, Eli Wallach, one of the least attractive men on the planet. But no, the guy who had the deformed skull, who was on The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh yes,
that actor. I mean, you could take the guy from The Hills Have Eyes, and you could take his balls and hang them through the plywood and put them right next to Brad Pitt's balls and George Clooney's balls, and you wouldn't know whose balls were attached to who.
Right.
Now,
that's rare. You wouldn't do that with lips or teeth or eyes or nose on a beautiful woman versus an unattractive woman, you know?
Sure, there are extremes. I mean, Wilford Brimley's balls might have a few grays.
Yeah, you could. Oh, I could pick his balls out of a lineup in a fucking heartbeat.
Can and have.
Yes, done and done again. But I'm just saying, women, you know, they're not attracted to balls. It's nice that you don't mind them, but you're not attracted to them.
No, yeah, I don't. We don't really care. They're incidental, unless there's something really egregious.
I was
thinking, like, guys have weird fetishes with feet or hands or whatever, like, you know, like, oh, the woman's got really sexy wrists, and you're like, oh, all right, I don't see it, but you do. I don't think there's a single woman out there who would ever even consider, like, oh, I bet he's got great balls.
No. Never heard that.
No. And don't even need to see him. Don't want to touch him. Like, won't have anything to do with them. So it's sad that they're as big as they are and placed where they are. You know, they should be in the small of your back.
They're prominent.
Yeah.
And they should be smaller because they don't really serve any function, you know? I mean, the breasts, you know, they serve something. You know, there's...
Oh, balls, that's where you cook up the baby.
No,
mine,
I know
mine
they...
Mine literally
they,
right
they,
now don't serve any function.
They do something. I'm just saying they're basically in the way and they're not attractive. The breasts have a function, but it also tracks men and feeds babies.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. It convinces men that are looking at you that you're fertile.
Right.
And thus they'll want to talk to you.
Right. All right. Do you have news,
I do.
By the way?
Okay. Now, if any of these stories seem boring, feel free to tell me. Do not be shy.
And that was Teresa Strasser and Bald Brian hanging out in June of 2009. It's nice that Adam brought his old co-host onto the podcast with him.
Yeah, I mean, the ACS format is what the majority of people wanted. Like, the only complaints early on about the podcast were the one-on-ones, where people were like, I want the old format back. I love the one-on-ones. So to me, it was like, I'll just take whatever they're putting out. I'm interested. But ultimately, the destiny of the show was to go back to that format. And to do so, you needed your news gal and your sound effects guy, who chimes in a lot.
Yeah, and they had such a chemistry. It just felt right to always bring them back in.
True.
All right, before we get going with the next clip, want to remind you about Tommy John. Oh, yeah, you're not so counting on Mom to buy that underwear for you. No. But in honor of Mother's Day, you should still get yourself a pair of Tommy Johns, all right? They're so comfortable. You can do everything better in them, and that's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. You might hear that they have fanatics, but I could tell you something. They also have super fanatics, like Giovanni.
That's right. I actually found a sealed, cool cotton Tommy John undershirt that I hadn't yet opened. I was like, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And I opened it up, and it was spectacular. It was the best day of my week.
Oh, yeah. Same here. Whenever I open up a new pair, too, I'm thinking.
I always just keep one extra. I keep one extra sealed just in case, so I have it for later. Or if I have to impress somebody, I need a really crisp, clean collar. They always stay crisp, but a brand new shirt is a brand new shirt.
Break in case of emergency. I totally get it. And they have breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. So I don't blame you, Gio. They have over 13 million pairs sold, and there's no risk because you're covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guaranteed. And we got a great deal for you. Tell them about it, Gio.
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/classics. That's 20% off your first order of underwear and loungewear at TommyJohn.com/classics. TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details.
All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is also from 2009, one day after the last clip. And this is featuring Bill Simmons.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 78, part 1, part 2 again tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. You don't want to miss it. Until then, check it out.
Welcome back, ESPN sports guy Bill Simmons, everybody.
I like what you've done to the studio.
It looks nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like you got a Playboy and you got a Los Angeles Magazine and Esquire. I feel like I'm at the barbershop. I feel like I'm waiting to get my hair cut.
You know, the best part about that barbershop is, I don't know if you guys, well, now they're bringing back the old school ones, but my old barber, he died, but he had the strap and the straight edge, and he had the foam dispenser, and not the foam dispenser where you put the can in and it heats the can, but the kind that makes its own foam, like from the 40s, cast out of a big chunk of aluminum, and you'd put like soap in it and you'd plug it in and he'd do the thing and it'd come out on his hand and be hot. It's like he just got done beating off and he'd rub it on the back of my neck and then he'd take the belt out in the straight razor and you'd hear that and it felt, it was like, it was so nice on the back of the neck, and then he'd dust you with the talcum.
He didn't whip the cream at you like Miggs in Silence of the Lambs?
No. Doing Jodie Foster. By the way,
I can smell you from here.
It does. It is kind of, it's kind of weird. Like when you look at some of these movies, like Silence of the Lambs has, you know, Jodie Foster in it. It's an FBI crime drama. Yeah. Everything's pretty straightforward. They're finding bodies. They have to catch him before he kills again. He abducts the senator's daughter, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Except for the part where the guy's in the stall next to hers.
Next
he's
day.
Beating off and flicks jizz that sticks to the side of her face.
Is that one of your top 10 favorite jism scenes in movie history?
It's top.
Somebody had jism thrown at them.
It's definitely my top 35. You know what else I was thinking about, speaking of jizz? I was just listening the other day to Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Yeah.
And there's that part where he's like, and she never lost her head, even when she was given head, said, hey, baby.
That's a bad lyric.
That's all right, but that's 1975?
Yeah.
Like, hello? We would bleep out, like, you couldn't say, God damn it.
Yeah.
Like, if you were doing a song back in the, you know, 70s and you said, God damn it, they'd, like, the radio station would bleep out, God damn it. You couldn't swear.
Well, what's it? Jack and Diane with John Cougar Mellencamp. What was that one?
Well, I don't know.
She went down on him somewhere. That was always a little awkward. Captain Jack with Billy Joel had one where he was masturbating.
The other,
remember that one?
Yeah, and there was there's always
what's his name from Detroit, the Silver Bullet rocker,
who's Bob Seger.
Bob Seger's always talking about taking some chick out to the woods,
dry humping her.
Dry humping her. She had points of her own.
Wait, I was
sitting way up high. All right, we get it. But I'm just saying, she never lost her head, even when she was giving head. Like, you just think some program director would go, you know, I don't think we're allowed to say giving head. Like,
yeah.
You can subtly allude to things, and you can use a little, you know, you can use the English language and bend it a little, but this is giving head.
They should have changed it to giving lead.
Something. I mean, if Lou Reed was ever playing the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah, like Jim Morrison.
There would have had to have been some sort of modification of that.
I have a Silence of the Lambs follow-up Migs question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think they use fake jism or real jism? Because if Jodie Foster was a real actress, method actress,
mm-hmm.
she'd say, no, I don't want the fake jism. And if this is the thing. If it was fake jism, where do I get some so I can throw it at my friends? Just terrifying.
It is weird. And it's got to be, you know, it's like whenever they do throw-up, they always just use pea soup.
Yeah.
And they mix it with like a little grape juice or something like that. There must be some prop department jism thing where it's like two parts Thousand Island, a little Zesty Ranch, and you take some like Gerber strain peas or something and put it in there. Like they're like one part Vaseline,
yeah.
One part Thousand Island or ranch dressing. Like there has to be some sort of, like, I'm sure there's prop guys that have that.
And Jonathan Demme, the guy who directed it, like, they gave him an early cut of the stunt jism. He said, no, too watery.
It's not sticking. Speaking of fake jism.
Yeah.
Do you ever see those porn movies where they seem to have the fake jizz where, like, it just keeps going and going?
Like a fire hose or something.
Yeah, it's really weird. And
but
you're
they
like,
label it funny, too, like, you know, maximum jizz in the face or... outrageous yeah. amount of jizz in the face.
And then I guess, you know, look, we all have daughters. Let me just, I'll give you two scenarios. If, God forbid, your daughter ends up doing porn, would you rather she do the kind of porn where she just takes the straight Randy West, as God intended, jizz shot to the face, or the super novelty new one where she's just being literally coated? Like, just like when there's a fire at the airport and they come out with the foam and just start spraying the foam all over the airplane. Like, oh, now, in one hand, it's fake, but it's still weird that she's literally being covered head to toe with ranch dressing. On the other hand, the other stuff, the Randy West stuff, that's real, but she's only a teaspoon of it.
I just can't believe Donnie had an opinion on this.
Donnie, evidently.
Such a shocker. Donnie, do you follow porn?
All right, let me ask
just
you this.
A little.
Let me ask you this.
By the way, I often play that game of, and this would be a funny website, worst possible porn titles that your daughter could have been on a box of.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
it's just horrible.
This new fake porn where they just drenched the people in jism is a little, I don't know. I know there's a market for it. But then once you find out it's fake, it kind of ruins the whole thing.
How could you not know that stuff is... As soon as you see it the first time, you're just like, what the hell?
Well, the thing about the fake jism porn is you're with it for a while. Like the guy's like, okay, all right, here we go. Yeah, stand back. Look out. Here we go. And like the first salvo, you're like, hey, that's impressive. And then the second one, you're like, wow. But then the third one, you're like, wait a minute. Hold on. Something's up here. And then by the eighth one, you're like, all right, listen, you're insulting my intelligence now. If you would have stopped two quarts earlier, I'd be with you on this. But you had to keep going.
All right, to be honest, I've seen these ones for a little while. They started out really? A little.
I can't believe it.
They start out, you know, with a big load, like, wow, that's impressive. But then like a month or two later, all of a sudden, like, I guess they had shot that and they just started bumping it up a little more.
They're getting greedy.
Yeah. Now they're doing the fire hose, you know, hit the runway and airplane.
That would be a fun, like, would you ever meet somebody who's like, yeah, I patented Your fake sperm.
Yeah, that's
movies
me.
Movies and porn.
I didn't do the sperm itself. I did the pump system. And then it's weird for the dude, like, because the dude has to keep his hand in a certain place, and it, you know, I don't know if you have to have a fire marshal on hand now. Like, I don't know how it works. And then, again, if you're the chick, if you're getting the fake goo, isn't that just, is that bullet dodged for you? Like, look, I'm just getting covered in tap water and cornstarch. I mean, I'm fine.
I think I'm going to get fired.
You can't get pink eye. You can't get pink eye from that, can you? All right, I'm just saying, look.
It's kind of like the adult version of Nickelodeon getting slimed.
Yeah, it's like the Teen Choice Awards or whatever they have over there. Yeah, the Nickelodeon Awards.
Adam, serious question for you.
All right. Oh, God, wait. I have one more.
All right, go ahead.
So, would you have your daughter, does she either do that, the real stuff or the fake stuff? And then here's the big question. I'll make it milder.
Well, I mean, my answer is obviously the fake stuff.
Okay, but she could drown. Like,
that's fine.
She could get, but then
salad,
it'd be like
ranch dressing.
What happened to your daughter? She passed away. What happened? She was so young. She got fluid in her lungs. What? She was drowned. She was
kind of
weird fetish porn and ended up inhaling some of this fake jizz. All right. What about this?
Wait a second. I have a question for you.
All right. Go ahead.
You know, performance enhancing drugs and baseball and football and all this stuff. Such a big story right now.
Sure.
Nobody talks about the effects in the porn industry.
Of Viagra?
The people we grew up with, John Leslie, Janie
sure.
Gillis,
sure.
Hershel Savage.
The greats. Yeah.
The great John Holmes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harry Reams.
Yeah.
They didn't need performance enhancing drugs. How do I judge the stats of the guys from the last 10 years?
It's true. And you know,
like Mr. Marcus, where do I rank him not knowing whether he's used PEDs or not?
The point it too is like you could see like John Holmes and some of his later work needed. First off, his dick was so big it was like blowing up a pool raft versus blowing up water wings. It took a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I always felt bad for the chick because the thing was like unwieldy and he's like having to hold it and you know what I mean? It was like I felt bad for not only like. Not only are you doing porn, but you're not really cutting it for John Holmes. Like,
yeah.
Like it took a little while for him to get going, but he always delivered the mail.
It was almost like filling a gas tank.
Yeah.
You had to fill with blood. You just had to sit there and wait and hold the pump.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'd go back in the car and just listen to the radio. But, yeah, you're right. Now everyone is not only these guys look amazing because half of them are juicing, but the other half are on the Viagra.
Well, there was a great article in The New Yorker by Susan Faludi in, like, 1995. It was called The Woodsman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about, you know, the old joke about, well, how come there are only, like, 10 guys who do porn? And it was because, basically, these were the 10 guys that directors knew, this guy's going to come through.
Right.
The lights go on, we say action, this guy's going to deliver. And a lot of guys would panic or get in their head.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be able to get it up one time.
Right.
And that was it. They'd never.
Right.
And now there's, you know,
oh, that's,
just give them
right.
a pill and you're fine.
Right. It's open. It's now open to everybody. Yeah, and you're
even,
right.
There was Daniel Callison.
There was our good buddy Daniel. Yeah, there were 8 guys who just perpetually worked, and now you can do. And by the way,
and they were like members of the family after a while.
Yes.
Like, hey, Randy West, how's your Easter?
I really felt like I knew Jamie Gillis.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I knew Peter North. Like I felt like I knew those guys.
Yeah.
Sad. You want to know the other sad and somewhat gay part of this whole thing? If you took all those guys that we spoke of, Peter North and Jamie Gillis and all those guys, and you put all their dicks through a hole in a piece of plywood, I could just go pick them all out. And that's gay. Like, I'd just be Ron Jeremy, Jamie Silvera, Peter North, Harry Reams. So sad.
Did you see the AVN Awards on Showtime? Mm-mm. A must-viewing experience every year.
I always think about watching those porn awards, but it always feels sort of weird and sad to me.
You know,
and it is.
How come, you know that, what was his name, Bobby Holland?
Bobby Hollander.
How come that didn't develop more? Like, was just like a discussion and then people, like, screw? That seemed like it would have evolved.
Donnie had a tape. Donnie had porn. Donnie was the first guy to have porn.
Of course he was.
He was the first guy to have a VCR. right? Yeah. I mean, me and Ray and Chris, and no one had a VCR. Right, and then, his dad had a couple of porn movies, and one of them was called Bobby Hollander Presents.
I think that's what it was
called. And it was like a middle-aged guy sitting around, and he was talking to the... To the
couple before
to the couple, and he's like, oh, what do you like, whatever. And then they would go get it on. And it was kind of, you know, they're kind of doing it now.
Which I've never seen.
It's called Gonzo.
Well, here's what they're doing now, and it's just, it's bullshit. But I kind of go along with it. Like, they walk into, like, a candle store, and there's some hot 19-year-old behind the counter. Yeah. And the guy's talking to her from his POV from the camera. And he's like, hey, look at you. Can I interest you in a sand candle? How about I give you $100 and you blow me? It's going to take more than that. That's how you always know it's bullshit.
$200.
Like, okay. wait till my boss leaves. And then here's where you always know it's porn, because when the chick gets naked, she has a shaved pussy and a tramp stamp and like a hood piercing. You're like, come on, you work at a candle store? And you have the crazy stamp and the shaved pussy. Like, that's how you know it's fake. But it is kind of fun, because it's like civilian porn. It feels like civilian porn.
Yeah, but like, you know, the over-jizzing, eventually it's like, this is fake. This is just fake.
I know, well, it's
Bobby
like...
Bobby Hollander was neat, because it was like almost like who am I thinking of? He was like, had a cigarette.
Tom Schneider, yeah.
He was like Tom Schneider interviewing.
Two weeks from now, my readers are going to be like, where'd Simmons' column go? Why is there any trace of him?
All right. Well,
ESPN and any forum.
We'll talk sports in a second.
Move the receiver to another side.
Let me ask you this, though. Back to my hypothetical, what wouldn't you want your daughter doing for a living? I'll get away from the super goo porn.
Well, what are some of the other vocations you would be against?
Okay, how about this? It's a strip club. There's no lap dancing. It's just a strip club, and it's just a topless strip club with no lap dancer. She either is the stripper, it's just topless, and there's no lap dancing, or she's the slightly husky chick who comes out every four dances with the Windex and has to clean the mirror and the pole off.
I think I go stripper.
Yeah, because she's taking her top off. Daddy can't be happy about that. But the chick who comes in with the Windex bottle and has to clean the glass off, that's kind of pathetic.
How much time do you spend dreaming these up?
Oh, a couple hours a day.
Come on, you have a daughter, Donnie.
What would you rather your daughter? Well, you could have
not
one
thinking
do
about
eat.
The stuff constantly.
Well, one could strip and the other could clean up. Not, all right.
But hold on. I'll go one further. I would call this the signs that you failed as a dad if your daughter is doing vocation X.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like if I'm walking downtown, some cute, nice little neighborhood, and my daughter's on the street, accosting people with some sort of, can you sign a petition for to save the whales?
Or, right.
I'd feel like I failed. I don't want my daughter to be the annoying person on the street that you have to, like, pull out your cell phone and pretend you're on the cell phone so you don't have to talk to them.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing.
It's the person who camps out in front of the Whole Foods Market.
Or Blockbuster.
Yeah, and as you're leaving, they pretty much figure out the demographic, because they know if it has to do with global warming, if they go to the Whole Foods Market, they're going to get all the guys who just loaded up on Sprouts walking out of there, and they're going to get them to contribute to it. Do we have a Skype phone call? Call you want to take, Donnie?
Well, I was going to tell you, like, you can take them in 5 minutes, but we're ready. We're loaded.
Yeah, why don't we try one? And we should talk some sports with Bill Simmons as well.
It might not be a bad idea.
Hey,
we got Ross on the line.
Ross?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's happening, Ross?
Not much. I just had a comment for you, Adam, and a question for Bill, actually.
All right.
I called to agree with you on your theory on shitty drivers in L.A. As an American living in Argentina for 2 weeks, I've seen more shitty-ass drivers and near misses than in my entire driving career in the United States.
Yeah, these are people – basically the theory is why is L.A. such a shitty town to drive in? And we are basically a holding tank for all the shitty drivers from around the world. All the people that come from places that drive mopeds and donkeys and rickshaws and all that shit, they all come over here and they don't have any experience.
I would go one further. I think a lot of those people are driving without licenses, and they go 20 miles an hour because they don't want to hit anybody or get pulled over or whatever.
But, I mean, like, anyone who's been to Germany will tell you that's the best place to drive. Why? It's a bunch of insured people whose parents and grandparents were driving. We have a lot of first-generation drivers over here. Thus, we have a lot of really shitty drivers. It's my analogy of why we get beat in soccer every year.
Hello?
Yeah. All right. And question for Bill Simmons.
What are you going
to
do after
this? Oh, yes. Bill, I'm wondering if we can finally put your theory to rest about David Stern rigging the NBA. Because, I mean, I know the entire world would have preferred to see LeBron James as opposed to Dwight. I don't even drink when I go out, Howard.
Oh, I have a counter theory for you.
So your first theory is that Stern gets through the refs and tries to rig it so we get the best matchups that are going to get the most attention.
Not my theory. It's, you know, it's a running joke that they try to orchestrate in any legal way they can. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, I mean, it's very interesting that obviously if you're the network that's covering the playoffs and the championships, it's much nicer to see New York going at it with Los Angeles than it is with Milwaukee or whoever, Miami. Well,
like, New York and L.A. are the two big ones because they're the number one, number two markets. Right. So that's why I don't really believe the LeBron-Kobe thing, because all they cared about was having Kobe in the finals. Mm. If Dwight Howard and Orlando go in there, Dwight Howard's not as big of a superstar. But now he's in the finals. You're now building his brand.
But they
becomes bigger.
They would definitely get a lot of mileage off the LeBron versus Kobe.
But they get next year though.
Thing.
Now they've pushed Dwight Howard to another level. He's now
right.
My mom now would be like, "Oh, I know who Dwight Howard is." She wouldn't have known that a week ago.
My mom thinks he's a country singer. So why does he wear a hat? Because he's bald. So but the theory, and not your theory, but some people's theory is if a ref makes a call or two and it goes the right way or the wrong way, you could easily have
the worst,
the way you want it.
Really got going after 2000. Well, the 1999 Knicks Pacers playoffs kind of started it. And then in 2002, the Lakers came back to beat the Kings. Mm-hmm. The Kings were up 3-2 going into game six. It's one of those games that every time it goes up on YouTube, the NBA removes the clip. Like it's right. And the Lakers shot like 75 free throws. Like at one point they called a foul on Vlade Divac because of his BO. He didn't even do anything. There's foul, he smells.
He just raised his hands.
Yeah, the ref. But so that was kind of the game that got the ball rolling, because obviously Sacramento, the 100 millionth TV market versus LA number two, you want the Lakers in there.
Right. All right. Do we have another Skype call, Weezer?
Yeah, we got Andrew, who's got a question for both of you.
Andrew?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, Andrew?
How are you?
Yeah, just wanted to ask Bill Simmons what his thoughts were on not getting the Timberwolves GM job, and then ask you if the kegger is going to become an annual event.
I made a half-hearted run to become the GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves. You would have liked this, Adam. Mm-hmm. My whole point was like they're going nowhere. Small market team.
Right.
What could the Minnesota Timberwolves possibly do to become a national story? Like they can't sign LeBron James.
Yeah.
They can't. No free agent is going to be like, Miami or Minnesota. I think I live in Minnesota. Like they're just basically screwed.
Right.
If they hire me as the GM, that's a national story.
Well, they don't even allow black people in Minnesota, do they?
No, they do.
Or they changed that?
They changed that in 1958.
God damn, a little behind on that.
But, you know, like, how else would they lead PTI? How else would, like, they make Jimmy Kimmel's monologue?
It would be like a Whoopi Goldberg movie from the early 90s. Eddie.
I prefer not to use that example for my case. I'm just saying.
That first off, you already did stunt casting in the governor's office, right?
Whole thing. It's like Jesse Ventura ran Minnesota.
Right.
Why is it so far-fetched that I could be the GM? I mean, if anything, it's like I'd have a connection with the fans. They could market me. I'd be out, like, in the crowd, like, talking to people, getting ideas.
No, and I know, and, you know, and especially in this era of, you know, any press is good press.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be in all the monologues and all the late night shows and all part of the interruption
become,
and all that.
Yeah, they'd become interesting. People would be like, oh, yeah, that's the team that hired that sports columnist.
Yeah, as it is, I don't even know that they have a team.
Can you name two Timberwolves?
No, I can name two actual Timberwolves. There's Kono and there's Jeremiah, which are actual Timberwolves that I know more than the actual team player. Yeah, they're not going to attract anybody. You know what they should do? They should call themselves, like, and by the way, Timberwolves doesn't attract, you know, any big black elite athletes. Anyway, they should name themselves the Rims.
The Minnesota Rims?
Humvees, Spinners.
Oh, that's
something that would take the next Shaq that would attract him to that. Because, you know, black guys don't want to go to Minnesota. It's too cold.
Well, that's the thing.
You need something. I'm trying not to make it too racist. But if you called himself like the 24-inch Spinners, you know what I mean? Maybe you could get some guys over that.
I Lamar Odom is going to be a free agent this year. He's in the Lakers. And a couple months ago, he was talking about how much he loves living on the beach.
Right.
And he was like, I mean, I can guarantee you this much. I will never not live on the beach. And you know his agent was like, really, Lamar? Like,
there goes 10 million.
Yeah, there's three NBA cities on a beach. And now you've basically said, I can only play for these three teams. So,
yeah, and even if that's what you're thinking, keep it close to the vest so we can get as much money as
we can. Well, that's the thing. You know, if you study, like, the patterns of free agency, the teams that over and over again are signing guys are Phoenix, Miami, the Lakers, the Knicks, the Bulls, like either big markets or teams that are in nice weather.
Right.
So maybe somebody should just create a professional basketball league and they'd have three teams in South Beach.
Right.
Four in Los Angeles and two in Arizona and two in New York. And it would be a 10-team league.
Do you have another question for us? Or was there a follow-up question for me? Another kegger. Yeah. I'll do it once a year. Was good times. Bill generously donated and bought tickets, but did not attend. I think you had a little issue with one of your daughters.
No, we had my son went on the injured list. He was a late scratch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they gave the money, but they didn't imbibe the beer.
Do you ever get mad at your kids for getting sick?
Yeah,
like you do, like the Vito Corleone. You can act like a man to your 18-month-old kid.
I yelled at my son the other day, and it was so sad. He started crying.
Yeah, they get so upset.
So he was walking up like a set of stairs. I was like, "Come this way, Sonny. This way, Sonny." And he just kept going. He wasn't listening. And then I gave the hey, and then he stopped. And he started crying, but it was so sad. When he was crying, he was going, owie, owie, owie. And I think that's what we all want to say when we're emotionally hurt, but we can't really say it. But he kept saying, owie. And then, of course, they go in and rat you out to the old lady. And then the old lady gives the, what did you do?
Yeah.
I don't know why. By the way, what the fuck? Like, why are wives so suspicious all the time? In the sense that my wife's not suspicious. Like, she doesn't think I'm cheating or screwing one of her friends. She just thinks I'm an imbecile.
As a parent,
like,
she's
as a
suspicious.
Parent, she's an imbecile. Yeah. She'll be like, okay, you're taking Sonny to do the podcast? Yeah. He rides inside the car. You understand? Inside the car. Okay? Yeah. Okay, now if you have to stop somewhere, don't leave him in the car with the car running and the car parked.
He'll die.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I understand all these concepts.
Yeah.
He's got to put bow shoes. He's got to be wearing bow shoes when he leaves the house. Don't put the diaper on his head. Don't put a hefty bag over his head and then pull a zip tie around his neck. Like, yeah, no shit, woman. I understand. I don't need the super condescending.
And you know what else is great? It was when they get mad at you for raising your voice at the kid.
Yeah.
But then when it's that time of the month, and they turn into a serial killer for 3 days, and they're yelling at everybody, like, kid just wants milk. I'll get you your milk in a second! And it's like, but that's fine. He's like, you don't understand. You don't have hormones.
I like the super redundant one, too, like where you go, they'll come back and they'll go, did you give Sonny his bottle?
I did.
I did. You did?
Yeah.
You gave him the bottle?
I did.
You gave him?
I did.
So he drank the bottle?
He had the bottle. I gave it to him.
You gave him the bottle?
I microwaved it.
Did you microwave it?
The bottle? Yeah,
did you hit it in the microwave? 45 seconds. Yeah. 33 seconds?
Yeah.
You gave him the bottle?
I did. He drank it.
You drank it?
He didn't drop it.
So you gave him the bottle?
Yeah.
Did he finish the bottle? It's like, hey, bitch, I said I gave him the bottle. Like, here's the deal. You said, did you give him the bottle? Here was my answer. It wasn't like, did you give him the bottle? And I went, well, I don't know.
I mean, what would you call giving a bottle?
What do you mean, give him a bottle? Yeah. Hold on, could you draw? Here's a dry erase board. Draw a picture of a bottle. Let me see if it strikes a chord. No, you said, did you give him the bottle? And my answer was, yes.
Yeah. You know what's interesting?
Do
about,
they not trust us?
Do you like being a dad? The one thing is your voice can go to that level that moms can't go to.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids will back down from what, you know, you can back them out down with that one tone.
Yes.
But as you pointed out, it can also lead to the kid just being emotionally broken for like 15 minutes.
Owie.
Yeah. My kid just sticks, my little son, he just sticks out his lower lip and it just quivers and he looks at me.
Yeah.
But I will give you the one example of a time when it was okay for a woman to be suspicious.
I will say this quickly, by the way. Yeah. Kids act like they're on Mexican television. Because when my three-year-old, when I go, hey, he gives a...
like a novella.
Yeah, like he's really like he's doing Mexican TV. It's about that range of acting. Like, we get it, you're sad. You don't have to do the super novelty.
Yeah, what do they turn four? In The Shining. So Jack Nicholson.
Oh, they'll pass the Mexicans by four.
Jack Nicholson working on the typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
The little kid comes down after he's been in room 237, his shirt's torn, he's got a bloody lip, he's like almost hyperventilating. Shelley Duvall sees him, what happened. She brings him to Jack Nicholson. What did you do? What did you do? And Jack's like, I didn't do that, but there's nobody in the hotel.
Right.
Nobody else in the hotel. They don't know that ghosts are there at that point.
Right.
That was okay to be suspicious.
Yeah, that situation.
Yeah, that one time, I think, was the right time.
I'm just saying, you're an intelligent guy. I'm an intelligent guy. We're responsible. We're not alcoholics, at least during the day.
We have nice hair.
We have nice hair. Do we really need the part where we're treated like imbeciles by our wives and with a certain degree of suspicion?
How about the part where they're like, do you feed Sonny? Yeah, I fed him a half hour ago. They get the sarcastic.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, the world's going on without you. You just occasionally come in and you pretend you're being a dad.
I get the same thing with the dog. Mm. Put the collar on. Don't let her run around on the freeway. Don't chain her to the bumper of the truck and drag her on the freeway. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And by the way, I like Molly. It's not like it's some sort of plan where I took an insurance policy out on Molly, and when Molly buys it, I get $10 million large, you know?
Yeah.
I like Molly just as much as you like Molly. I will make sure that she gets fed and that she doesn't get dragged behind a pickup truck.
What are you going to do for teams for Sonny?
Oh, you mean he's got to pick a team?
Well, are you of the camp that if your kid doesn't root for the teams that you want them to root for, you failed? Kind of like the equivalent of... Your daughter ending up in a fake jism video?
We don't know it's fake. Until the fifth quart hits. I would say, here's why.
Are you a free choice or are you you've let dad down if you're not rooting for
listen,
my teams?
Listen, if he roots for any team at all, it means he's a sports fan and that's a good thing. What I don't want him doing is rooting for Prince. I don't want him, like, bringing in Prince CDs and talking about how much he loves Prince.
So music is a bigger deal for you.
Yes, yes. If he starts liking shitty music, I will fucking take a folding chair to that shit's head. If he starts coming in, he's like, oh, have you heard this song called Dirty Laundry? It's awesome. You know, have you heard Don Henley? Like, if he starts playing those shitty 80s Prince songs that everyone seems to love and starts putting up posters and shit or, you know, wants to play some Fergalicious or something, I will kick the shit out of him.
How about country music?
I'll have to hear it. I'd like to hear.
Case by case basis.
If he plays, if it's Toby Keith, I want to talk about me. I'll give him a pass on that one because that's the only country song I like.
I worry about my kids because we listen.
Really, being a fan of shitty music is worse than the team thing.
Yeah,
you're going to
have
to live with that.
You failed,
and not only have you failed, but you're gonna be listening to Lady Gaga coming from the kid's room all day.
Well, but don't you, when you drive around, we always put on Coffee House on Sirius because it's mellow and maybe the kids will fall asleep in the car seat.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm worried that my son's going to grow up and he's going to think like Ray LaMontagne is awesome.
More Enya, Dad.
Yeah.
Where's Enya?
Where's Maroon 5, Dad? Where's my Maroon 5 concert album?
And that was fan favorite Bill Simmons back in 2009. Everyone loves when Adam and Bill get together. They build off each other so well. Some of their most famous bits, Pedophile.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's Adam's bit from Loveline that Bill kind of glommed on.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Even in this segment, there's a part where Bill still, like, pulls out a reference, and it's like, he even says Sonny. It's like, wait, that's Adam's bit. What are you doing? Yeah. He goes, the thing where when you have little kids and your wife's like, did you feed them? Are you sure you fed them? And he used Sonny as an example. It's like, no, that's Adam's dog thing that he always uses. Everybody loves Bill Simmons and Adam together except the higher ups at ESPN. Luckily, they don't matter at this point.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when he would come to Happy Ending, and Bill would have to excuse himself whenever things got a little raunchy.
That was after a conversation he initiated on an early podcast, which he actually references on this episode, which is quite funny. It's like, wow, he has the balls to go there, even though he's specifically told not to talk about that one topic.
We love it. Anyway, let's get going with our next clip. But first, I want to remind everybody again about BlindsGalore.com. The friends and family sale is happening now, up to 50% off custom blinds and shades. It's one of their biggest sales of the year, but it won't last forever. So visit BlindsGalore.com today. With Blinds Galore, they believe you deserve high-quality, custom-built blinds, shades, and shutters. Nothing gets made until you order it, so you know that they're just perfect for you. Family owned and run company for over 20 years, and they've covered over 2 million windows. All right, they have a new build a blind tool. They'll let you create and customize to see exactly what they'll look like, and it'll be right on your screen before you buy it. You know exactly what you're getting, and they have expert customer care, and that team will help you every step of the way, online, over the phone, however you want it. And check this out. We got a great deal for you. Just go to BlindsGalore.com today and let them know that we sent you. Shop like you're part of the family with 50% off during Blinds Galore's Friends and Family Sale that's going on right now. That's BlindsGalore.com. All right, let's get going with another clip. We're still in 2009. We're moving up to August. Jerry O'Connell joined Adam on the podcast.
Classic guest. This is maybe the definitive Stand By Me interview where he talks about the experience as a kid, really gets in depth on it. That'll mostly be covered in the Corolla Classics feeds tomorrow. In this part, this is the first half, Adam and Jerry just sitting down one-on-one. Adam Corolla Show, episode 126, August of 2009. It's great. Check it out.
Jerry O'Connell is in studio. Good to see you, Jerry.
Adam, what an honor.
Jerry brought us two twins. How old are they?
They are 7 months old. I'm sorry. I know that's not very cool of me, but my wife is working today, and we don't have any help. And I figured if anybody was cool with it, you would be. I am ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I feel like I'm like... I feel like
twins.
Michael Keaton in a 1980s film, but it has to be done.
Mr. Mom... I have twins, so I understand. I feel you. Now, you have twin girls.
We do. We probably could afford someone to take care of them during the day.
I was going to suggest that, yeah.
But I'll tell you, in all honesty, and I'd be into that, but my wife does not want to go down that road just yet.
Rebecca.
She wants one of us to be around them at all times. She feels that's very important to her, and which I completely understand. And that's
so
her.
No nanny.
No nanny.
And when do you think you might, like, after they go to college or something like that, they might be able to hook them up with a nanny?
I'm hoping...
Because it's never going to be a good time.
Let me tell you what it is. Right now, I am not working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping I get a job, and then I am forced to leave the house, and my wife has a job, and
right.
I'm going to say, listen, I care more about this job than I do my children.
Sure.
It's time for me to leave.
Well... To be fair...
Hold on a second. Girls, shut up. We're doing a podcast. Zip it.
Hold on, Jerry. Put the belt back in the pants, please. I'll not tolerate it. People at home that are just listening who can't see this, Jerry, just reach for a studded belt. Jerry, please, no. Rebecca, if you're listening, this is the best argument I can make for getting a nanny. Jerry literally started to undo his belt. I pray it was to beat them with the belt, now that I think about it. So, Jerry, yeah.
It was to choke you with it, Adam.
Okay.
I want to choke you just to the point of unconsciousness and then keep you conscious.
You know what? That would bother a lot of guys, but I actually pay for that.
Adam, it feels a lot better if somebody's choking you.
I want to go out like Carradine. I was saying about Carradine.
I couldn't find photos, man. I looked.
Oh, you looked for...
Did you find them?
No, my feeling on all that stuff is...
I miss the days when Carradine's assistant or the hotel manager or the housekeeper would find the guy
and cover
with his wang out and the phone cord around his neck, pull him out of the closet, put him in a red, white, and blue gi, put nunchucks in his hands, really, and just lay him on the bed and say, "That's where I found him."
That is so funny.
Because historically, God knows how many people we found in compromising positions. Like, yeah. Out of these, all the guys who signed the Declaration of Independence or signed all the founding fathers, right?
Yeah.
All those guys. I'll bet you at least half those guys either died of syphilis or died in their mistress or whatever. But what did they do? They pulled them out, they cleaned them up, and we didn't talk about it.
They did some bad stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, human nature has not changed that much in a couple hundred years, right? They were weird back then, too, right?
I am going to blame it on, I think it's digital images.
Yeah.
I think it's digital images. Not even like the superhighway. I'm not even going to go that broad.
Right.
I'm going to say specifically images, digital images that you can quickly email and stuff.
Is there going to be a celebrity or a person or like, I mean, my feeling is, and by the way, these cameras are now, they have cameras. I was just looking through the Sky Mall the other day and they have like cameras that fit into your car keychain and stuff like that. I mean, there's going to be film of everyone naked, right? Like there won't be a person from this point on that you won't be able to see having sex or nude pictures of or what have you. I mean, it used to be a celebrity had to pose for Playboy, and then you would have nude pictures of them. Yeah. Now it's just their old boyfriend took one on his iPod and his iPhone, and that's it. Right?
I'm old school. There may be some images of me naked, but I mean, I don't do those, like, my wife and I don't do those where we pause with each other. Adam, can I put these kids in your studio? In the other room.
Yeah, go ahead.
Girls, that's it. You're not allowed to stay in here with the grown-ups anymore. Bye. See ya.
Jerry has the double-decker stroller, way, that looks like it's one of those high-speed jogging strollers. Ah, that's all right.
I am ashamed.
Don't be ashamed. So Rebecca's working. You're in between gigs. What's Rebecca working on?
Wait, I want to talk about, I did see the Aaron Andrews tape. I saw it. Do you know who I'm talking about?
From
the ESPN group?
Yes, I saw that too. Yes, somebody like literally put a camera in a gym bag or bored a hole in the side of a wall or did something.
Yeah.
And then there's part of me that feels bad, but then there's another part of me that goes, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm over at Kimmel's house and he does the, come here, come here, come here. And then you go over to the computer, and the next thing you know, there's two chicks crapping in a cup or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, how about a little heads up? Yeah. So she's the reporter from ESPN who's Foxy. And the point is, this is my point. Either you're going to volitionally take pictures of yourself in the nude and sell them to Playboy, or somebody's going to find a picture of you and put it on the internet. And then once it's out, you know, it's kind of like this. You ever watch? Remember, you used to see like Tyson fight Mike Tyson, total animal in the ring, right?
Yeah,
and
he was.
There'd be that thing where it'd be the fifth round, and he'd be kicking the crap out of someone, and the bell would ring just clearly. They're like ding, 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 and then he'd whack the guy really hard, like good 3 seconds after the bell just rang, and completely scramble the guy's eggs. Like, I mean, just cold cock him. Sometimes it was in the back of the head. Either way, it was Mike Tyson hitting you with a short right hook, right?
Okay.
And then the ref would go, hey, 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 come on now. None of that. Come on, none of that. And he'd walk back to his corner. But tell that to the guy who just got the concussion. He doesn't lose any points. He doesn't get anything deducted. He doesn't get anything. Just a guy going, hey, hey, knock it off. And the guy staggers back to his corner who got hit after the bell. I feel the same way with all this nude stuff. Somebody sneaks a camera in a gym bag, takes a picture of your famous wife naked, throws it on the internet, everyone sees it, and then at a certain point a judge goes, hey, knock it off.
Right.
But everyone already saw the picture, right? It's already on their computer now.
Right.
So
right.
Just like the guy staggering back to the corner, a lot of good it does him
right.
to have the ref tell Tyson, hey, knock it off.
Well, I think they are going to press charges they're going to try and find the person who
but
did
you
it.
Saw her nude, didn't you?
I did.
Well,
I
then it's then your work is done. You're married to Rebecca Romaine.
Yeah.
Do you really need to look at other blondes naked?
Listen, I think it's the fact that it's secret footage, you know? I think it dates back to, if you remember, a classic film, Porky's, where someone drilled a hole in a wall and to look it into the girl's locker room.
Right.
And, I mean, that there's excitement in that.
No,
you know?
I agree.
And it's if someone had posed for those photos, you know, if Erin Andrews had posed for those in a magazine, I'm not sure that we'd be as into it as if someone surreptitiously
That's what happens every time. It's like,
mind you, whoever did do that should get in a lot of trouble. That's some bad stuff.
I know. I know. But it's like Lisa Rinna wants to pose for Playboy, and you're like, I don't need to see. Like, it's a catch-22. I don't need to see anyone naked who wants to be naked. Well, I want to see people who are nude who don't want to be nude.
Maybe Lisa should act like Harry Hamlin, her husband, drilled a hole in their bathroom wall and taped her, like, peeing and pooping. And
that I could masturbate to. I do. And by the way, you're laughing, but there's a whole new branch of porn. Let's bring the twins back in for this discussion. Where the guy does that thing where he goes into, like, the soft swirl yogurt shop, and there's the hot blonde behind the counter, and he's like, hey, man, how much to come out to the van and give me a little, you know, whatever.
Oh, so it's getting people off the street.
Yeah, well, it's not. Because obviously the chick at the soft swirl yogurt shop.
Oh, is a plant.
Yeah, isn't really going to just go into this guy's primered van and give him a blowjob for $80. But they do there's a whole new kind of porn where it's the Jerry porn where they're like, hey, you know, this isn't a porn movie. These are civilians, and the guy gets out $1,000, and he's like, let's go into the back room. And when you watch it, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, this is a normal, a normal chick.
I have not seen those, but it sounds hot.
Let me tell you something.
You know what would be really hot, too, is if we could watch that, and I could choke you with my black studded belt and keep you just at consciousness.
Just in that weird, rarefied air, that ether between conscious, alive and no pulse at all. I got to tell you, the one perk, Jerry, to the old lady hitting the set, going out for 12, 14 hours a day, and you being stuck home alone with the twins without the heavy set Guatemalan chick running around the house is you porn. That is the one. That is the one perk for being Mr. Mom, and you're not taking advantage of it. You put the kids down for a nap, and now it's Pops. Time for Pops to get a little quality time in.
I do have to say, that quality time, because I am around my two daughters, I find it, I'm someone who needs to be very much alone for those intimate moments.
Really?
Like, when I say, like, alone, I mean, like, empty house alone.
Really?
Yeah.
So even if the
sometimes at work, like in a workplace bathroom, I'm okay. But at home, I'm just too afraid.
So you mean even if the kids are upstairs in the cribs, no downstairs on the laptop?
You know, let me just say no to that. First of all, because they're only 7 months old, so you do have to sort of be in their vicinity. You can't, you have to sort of be around them.
Listen, you're talking to a guy who has twins. They're three, and they're still, you know, one of them's alive. So I feel like I did a, you know, pretty decent job of rearing. You know, now, you know, it's funny when you think about that, like being alone. You know, when you watch those, I was just watching Michael Irving being like inducted into the Hall of Fame in football, and of course, the playmaker for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right,
and
right,
they do
right.
that thing where it's like, he was raised in a one-bedroom house with 17 brothers and sisters, and your thoughts always turn to, wow, man, cramped and squalor and stuff like that. But you really have to think about beating off. I mean, imagine you. You need the entire neighborhood to be medevaced out of your city in order to squeeze one off. And here you are, Michael Irvin. I bet Michael Irvin squeezed one off in a crowded elevator.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that because, you know, he was obviously very, very athletic, probably very just filled with testosterone, especially during those teenage years.
Oh, maybe that was it.
He was competing at a very high level.
Oh!
At the highest level. He was a playmaker, even then.
Maybe it's because he had a lot of pent-up energy that he wasn't burning off at home.
I do want to say, I like where your mind is going, Adam, and that's why, you know, myself and hundreds of millions of others love you and the way your mind works. But that is not the first thing I think of when Michael Irvin gets inducted into the NFL
really?
Hall of Fame.
But surely when he talks about having 9 brothers and 14 sisters,
it's
and
still
living in-
not. It's still not. It would have never entered my mind. And really? I have a pretty dirty mind. Wow. I just want you to know how dirty your mind is that you think of how did Michael Irvin touch himself in such a crowded household. Well, and you are completely right. And you really look at things from such an interesting angle.
He loves his mama, and he's pissed at me because I did Kimmel with him, and I basically was explaining to him that white guys don't love their mama. You know, I mean, we're okay with our mama, but you guys, you black guys, you love your mama.
That's
you,
pretty
you know
funny. I mean? I don't think he'll be mad at you for that long. I don't know him at all personally.
Oh, that wasn't it. I kept going.
Well, oh, really?
Well, he was like, why don't you love your mama? And I said, look, your mama worked 3 jobs, right? And she was like, yeah, and then managed to come home and cook a meal and do all. My mama laid around the house. As a matter of fact, your mama came over to my mama's house and cleaned it. And my mama made me like a Hot Pocket, and that was it. So why should I love my mama? And then he was laughing, but later on I think he got pissed that I mentioned that his mama was cleaning my mama's house.
That, I don't think he'll, I think he's a pretty funny guy. He takes himself, I actually did meet him once at a bar in Los Angeles. We were watching Monday Night Football, believe it or not. Mm. And he was there, and he couldn't have been nicer, A. I said, hello, Playmaker, it is an honor to meet you.
And he was like, Kangaroo Jack!
No, I don't even think he recognized me. But he asked me if I knew that guy from the Man Show because he's looking for him. That's a joke. I thought he was funny on the Joe Buck Show when he had that really funny line about white on white crime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think he's afraid of
a little controversy. Well, what he does is he laughs and laughs and laughs, and then when he gets off the air, he goes, "I'm going to kill you." Yeah. So let's forget about Michael for a second. Let's talk about you.
No,
you had 14 brothers and sisters growing up. You grew up, where, Long Island?
No, I grew up in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
In New York City.
And your parents did what?
My father, mid-level advertising guy.
And mom?
Was a public school teacher, special ed.
And then how did you get into acting?
Stand By Me was... remember the movie Stand By Me, directed by Rob Reiner?
Of course, great movie.
They were holding pretty big auditions. Not big auditions, but sort of like, you know, they were reaching out to... they weren't just going the route of, like, Disney Channel.
Right.
I guess there wasn't a Disney Channel back then. They weren't just going the route of, like, the Tatum O'Neills of the day.
They didn't want a bunch of familiar faces.
Right.
I agree with that, because, you know, it's a distraction. I mean, it. You know, on one hand, it's kind of cool. On the other hand, you see the outsiders, and you're like, oh, look, there's Tom Cruise, and there's Patrick Swayze, and it's like...
It's always pretty cool to see the outsiders. Though,
all right, maybe you're right. Horrible example. But it can't. I like seeing especially a story like that told with people that I don't recognize because it makes it believable. And I don't want to see Dakota Fanning in your role. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it was down to me and her.
Which is amazing. Born Dakota fan.
No, but I went to a school that was sort of a performance art school. It's called Clinton School for the for Writers and Artists or something.
Really?
Sort of in Chelsea.
You had to get into that school.
Yes, it was a smaller school.
You were a gifted child.
They call it a satellite school. Mm-hmm. To be honest, because I was too afraid to go to the regular junior high school.
Really?
Where I was not, my parents were too afraid. And the regular junior high was one block from my house, and this one was about 4 or 5 blocks.
Were you a chubby kid, or did you pack on the pounds like De Niro did for Raging Bull?
I purposely put those on for the role.
Really?
No, I was overweight as a child, yes.
Oh, so you can't go to a public school if you're a chubby kid anyway, because
you know,
you're
it's
the
actually
chubby
not
kid.
That bad. It actually works out in your favor because people also do give you a little bit of... you're a little more intimidating than the smaller kids.
Well, it is true. Like, I always remember the chubby kids, and no matter what you wanted to say about them, they still had 35 pounds on your scrawny 60-pound ass. And there was that sort of feeling that they could crush you just because of the size. I mean, just because they're sheer mass.
Well, like, there were kids that were larger than me that were definitely bullies. Definitely.
Right.
I was not a bully. I got along with pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. But people, our biggest problem at our school was people coming from the bigger school or the high school, which was even closer, and preying on the junior right. high school kids, right. you know? So it was mostly like kids who were three or four, or if they had most likely had a difficult time getting out of high school, 5 or 6 years older than you.
Right.
Coming back to, you know, take money from
you. How scary that was, like when you were 11 or 12, a 15 or 16-year-old
yeah,
coming by.
It was really scary.
They're the scariest people on the planet.
It was really scary. And to be honest, I remember a situation where one asked for my money. I wouldn't give it to him. I had a, it was a 25-cent fruit drink in a plastic barrel where you pop the top off. It had foil on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw it at him.
Really?
Yeah. And, which was, looking back, a really, like, ballsy move on my part. But I think someone, I think there was someone of authority there. Like, we had some problems in our school, so we had a couple of teachers who were watching us after school.
Do you ever get, you know, there's that thing in life where you become the age of the person, like, my family are all pretty much losers, and, like, I'm... You know, approximately the age my dad was when my parents got divorced.
Right.
And my dad didn't have enough money to put a down payment down on put a cleaning deposit down on a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood.
Right.
So we had to go live at my grandparents' house for a few months.
Okay.
And you think, at the time, it's sort of like, all right, this is how life is. But then you get to be that age and you go, what the fuck? You didn't have $300 for an apartment?
Yeah.
Now... Fast forward or go back to when you're in high school. When I was in high school, 16 years old, 17, whatever, I've played sports and attempted to get laid. There's never, if one of my friends said, hey man, let's go back to the old junior high and pick on some eighth graders, I would have been like, right. Are you fucking high?
Yeah.
What do you want to do that for? What did that 12-year-old do to you? And well, by the way, you're 17. You really want to go screw with a 12-year-old? Like, what the fuck? When you're 12 and the 17-year-old is fucking with you, it seems normal. But then you get to be 17 and you're like, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
Yeah.
Could you imagine when you were in the 10th or 11th grade going back and screwing with a 6th grader?
I could not. But, I mean, I have to think that the people who did screw with, and I want to say me, us, there was a group of us that they took issue with.
Assholes. They're who need just to be shot.
They're
right?
just very. I think they're probably very insecure. And,
well, they're super stupid.
And I can't imagine that they've amounted to anything in their lives.
I would hope they were just raped in prison and killed that way.
But it's really funny. I remember this one guy I threw this thing at. He swore he was going to get me, and there was a like. I'm going to go with a couple weeks there where I would walk around New York City in a state of fear, looking for this guy. And it was actually a really interesting. I mean, it was a funny thing to sort of go through, is to always be scared, you know?
Yeah.
But that being said, I'll tell you what I really took issue with is when I went to high school, guys who were older who would go out with girls in my high school.
Yeah.
So guys who would come around in their cars and pick girls up.
Right.
Who were adults.
Right.
And first of all, it's illegal. Secondly, I remember, you know, when I turned like 23 or 24 being like, wow, could I really go have sex with a 16-year-old and go pick her up at high school? And,
I know.
Like, be like, feel good about that? And, like, proudly pull up in my BMW 3 Series convertible?
Right.
And be like, hey, what's up? Yeah. Hey, yeah. Well, come on in. Let's go.
Let's go drink a Yoo-Hoo down at the park. It's awesome. Yeah, I know. Oh, you got pubic hair? Really? Prove it. Yeah, you want to see my Letterman jacket? It's got a date on it 9 years earlier than when you're going to graduate. It's awesome. I lettered in track. Yeah, I know. It's so skeezy. It's like, it's just weird.
That's the one that always freaked me out.
And
it's
also historically, when you hear about it too, it's a little weird. Although we give everyone a pass, but it's like, well, Elvis met a 14-year-old Priscilla Presley when he was in the Army.
Yeah.
And him and Priscilla used to spend long nights at 14?
Yeah.
Not 16 and a half-year-old Priscilla Presley. Yeah. And like when you hear about like Sonny Bono met a 4-year-old Cher when he was 29 and he brought her into his apartment. It's like, what? There is that sort of thing. Like historically, it all sounds really cool now, but it's really weird that like Sonny and Cher, Elvis, I'm not sure. I don't know. Even if the point is there's a massive difference between 22 and 15.
There's not a massive difference between 32 and 39, but there's a massive difference between when you're in your early 20s, you've been out of high school, and you've experimented with drugs, you've gotten laid, you got your own apartment, all that, and you're going after some 15-year-old.
It's just wrong.
But it's wrong.
It's really wrong.
But if you could wrap your studded belt around my neck while I thought about a 14-year-old Priscilla Presley, that would be awesome.
It's just not good. I'll tell you, I actually knew a guy. I went to college with a guy who dated a girl who was a teenager in high school. And my brother and I, who both went to college together and knew this guy, we were like, hey, man, you know, this is it. This is it.
It's creepy.
We're not hanging out anymore. And he was like, well, you know, we really love each other. And I was like,
worse.
No, man, it's not cool. There's nothing cool about it. I'll tell you. I've seen him a couple times since then. And even then, I'm like, yeah, yeah.
It's weird. It's like seeing a guy. It's like once in a while, you'll see a guy just kick his dog really hard or do something weird like that. And you'll go, no, I don't want to hang out with this guy. You know, you get turned off. I mean, this is the equivalent to, you know, you've dated a chick for a couple of weeks, you go down on her, and woo. Seeing a guy, like, punch his dog or smack his kid or something like that.
I have a new thing with my dogs. I have a bottle of water, and I spray them.
That's cool.
It's pretty rude, actually, and it really annoys them.
What kind of dogs are they?
Listen, we have a couple of little dogs that we rescued at this place, Much Love, which is a big reason why I'm here. Big charity event coming up August 22nd. But we have a couple of little rescue dogs, which we got before we had kids. And now that we have children, that void has been filled. We're stuck with these two little mutts. I'm joking. We love them. But they're crazy, you know? And now that the kids are here, they're really crazy. And I have a little water bottle, and I spray them with it.
And that was Jerry O'Connell hanging out with Adam Carolla. If you want to listen to the second half of that conversation, make sure to tune in tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed, where you get our special Sunday episodes.
I'm a huge Jerry O'Connell fan, huge Sliders fan.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about Sliders before. We love Sliders. Also, he was probably one of the first guests that I really got super excited about when he came in the studio and I took pictures of him and put it on my Facebook page. I was an intern, like, check it out. Jerry O'Connell's here.
Pulled a Mike cool. August, you're taking flash hit pictures.
No, my flash was off this time.
Yeah, he was actually the running for Spider-Man back in the day in the first Sam Raimi movie, around circa 2000 before they made it. It would have been a very interesting trilogy to have him and his physicality instead of Tobey Maguire.
I agree, that's an interesting what-if casting. I'll be thinking about that one. All right, before we get going with another clip, couple things. First off, I want to remind you, if you want to request a clip, it's very easy. Just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at ChrisLoxamano1. Also on Facebook, just Google us. You'll find us and let us know what you want to hear. If you have a particular moment,
I wasted 20 hours this week, Chris.
Yeah, or question.
I'm still searching for a specific clip where Adam talks about Lee Majors for one guy. I put 20 hard hours into it this week, still nothing. I'm going to find it.
It'll be worth it. Also, want to remind everybody about 1-800-Flowers.com, okay? This Mother's Day, lock in your place as the golden child by ordering mom's bouquet early from 1-800-Flowers.com. Whether she's near or far, ordering early means getting the best selection of bouquets that are guaranteed to show her that she's loved. Right now at 1-800-Flowers, you can get 36 sorbet roses for $36. Okay, these aren't your average roses either. 1-800-Flowers sent over a bouquet to the studio, and they're slick looking. They come in this box that just keeps everything nice and safe, and it's so trusted over here. We love using it. It just impresses everybody, not just moms too. Impress your wives, your girlfriends, anybody that loves flowers. You got to get at 1-800-Flowers.com, and 36 sorbet roses for $36. Amazing offer, but prices will be going up soon, so hurry and order soon. And we got a great deal for you. Gio got it. Tell him.
To order 36 sorbet roses for $36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Carolla. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Carolla. Hurry. Offer expires soon.
All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and we're taking it back now to 2016, our very first Carolla cruise. And of course, we played the Rotten Tomatoes game that was boat-themed.
Adam Carolla Show, 1969, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop, December of 2016. Let's check out the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Shall we do, what are we going to do? A little
Rotten Tomatoes game?
Rotten Tomatoes game?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Archie! He names the flicks and the gang makes flicks mad. Archie! He's a schlubby guy and when he dropped by the gang has to guess. Do the critics scores make him rotten or fresh? Oh, God bless you guys. You're such great fans, aren't they?
Yeah. This is awesome.
Adam,
totally captive audience.
I don't know how you feel. I was talking to Gina about it earlier, like walking around the cruise, obviously, you know, you get stopped every few feet, like, oh, hey, I'm a big fan of the show, love the show, love what you do. It's like being a Disney character, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, you're like Belle.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's awesome. It's nice to have people come up to you and tell you they enjoy what you do, but it's a cool thing.
I love it, but, you know, I think it's this, but I'm not sure. I was talking to... I had a funny conversation. So I was talking. I went out to lunch with James Baby Doll Dixon, and we were talking about, you know, life and Jimmy and the Oscars and all sorts of fun stuff. I figured out that I get paid more for doing this cruise than he gets for doing the Oscars, which delighted me.
Yeah,
take that.
It's funny, but I think it's like being a Raiderette or something. You know what I mean? It's a privilege. You get $9 a game. It's a privilege just to get out there on the field. It's a symbolic thing. Anyone who's doing the Oscars is not doing it for the money. But still, was funny. That was a funny thing to me. But he did say, he said, you know, I said, I like people. Like, I like fans. I like the people. And then I said, yeah, your other client, John Stewart, probably wouldn't be a big fan of this. And then he said... Well, you can handle yourself. And I thought, oh, that's right. Like, I have this thing where my buddies, Chris and Ray, tried to assault, beat, and rape me oftentimes for, like, 2 decades. And so when the drunken guy slaps me in the back and squeezes me and wants to get the picture with his other buddy, I don't have that same sort of Letterman, don't put your hands on me thing. There's this thing where it's I grew up being assaulted by large males, and so I have no fear gene.
You hear that, fellas? That's your cue.
That's your cue, fellas. And some of the heavier set ladies. All right, the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Yes.
Sorry.
All right, so all of these movies involve a boat, one way or another. Our first movie stars the odd couple, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, where small-time con man Charlie fast-talks his considerably more straight-laced friend, Herb, into joining him for a luxury cruise on an ocean liner headed to the Bahamas in the 1997 movie Out to Sea.
Oh, so it's kind of a grumpy old man kind of
thing. Take to the water.
At sea. Can't remember if I saw this. No, I didn't. I did not see this. You're right.
That's the default.
I did not see the whole thing. I will just say the critics didn't love it, but it's Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, was it?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Together again.
They're likable. They worked well together. I'm going to say 46%.
We're very close. I have my phone writing it all down. I said 39%.
I swear to God, 38. I'll write mine down.
You should write yours down.
All right.
I don't know how to use my phone.
Somebody is right on the nose.
Oh, boy.
Out to Sea is rotten at 38%.
Oh!
Good start. Great start. Great way to start.
Great.
Don't worry. I'll fuck it up.
You have a
Yeah, she will. You should hope Somali pirates board the ship right now. And you can just go away with -5.
That'd be awesome.
That'll be your last. That'll be on your headstone. -5.
That'd be great.
Points.
I am the captain now.
Yeah.
Our next movie has some vacationing chipmunks and chipettes.
Jesus.
Turning a luxury cruise liner into their personal playground until they become chipwrecked on a remote island.
Seen it.
In 2011's Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked.
Now, would this be a good example of when they came up with the title first?
Yes. And I'm forced to watch this and underwrite it because my kids have it.
It's also, you've seen this and not Inception?
My kids aren't old enough for Inception.
That's a good point, man.
I won't pay money for me. I only pay money for them. But, yeah, It's one of these things, too, where it's like when these actors have to do the interviews, and they go, well, it's really hard to act because the Alvin and his sister and all, they're not really in the room, you know, when you're acting against it. So you have to kind of act, you know, when someone holds a tennis ball, they do the same thing. It's like, the T-Rex wasn't really, hold on, they didn't animate a T-Rex? No, they hold up, like, tennis balls and give you an eye line. And it's like, yeah, I get it, but... all acting is kind of that way, right? Like, Russell Crowe wasn't going back in time to command a ship of the line, and you don't really have AIDS. You know what I mean? Like, isn't that
Thank
all?
Thank God.
Well, you know what I mean? You have to fucking,
yes.
You have to pretend this chick you don't know is your wife. Like, isn't that, it's called acting?
It's all different levels.
Not that impressed. I'm not that impressed. But anyway, what's the name? Did a wonderful job. I'm going to say lots of dance routines, lots of music.
You have an advantage here.
We wouldn't know.
I did. I know it's not good, but it's still one of these things you do as a parent. You know that move where you like you walk in and you go every once in a while because you feel like I should act like a parent every once in a while. Like you walk in and you go, what's going on in here? And they go, shh, dad. And you go, oh, we're watching. By the way, the genius of the Ace Man gets shushed from some piece of shit they're watching for the 44th time, but all right. I can take it. Dad, what are we watching here? It's Alvin and he's chip-wrecked. Oh, okay. Looks like a piece of chip to me. But all right. And I'm like, you're sitting there and you go, Jesus Christ, what the hell has Hollywood gone to? And then 40 minutes later, you're still standing there, but there's a little drool under you. And you're like, you realize you're now watching this stupid movie with your stupid kids.
You're in it.
Yeah, there's some likable things about it. It can't be good. I'm going to say... 39.
I said 22.
Ooh, whoa, I got cocky. I said 7.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked is rotten at 12.
Oh, God damn it.
It feels good. It feels
you
good.
You just went to even.
I know. You're zero.
Yeah,
zero.
Baby.
Wow. Wow.
You guys get to witness Judith's collapse in person.
Yeah, it's super fun.
I don't mind.
Give me 3 more questions.
I don't mind women excelling sometimes, but this is like way over the line.
Yeah,
you do
way
something.
Over
Agreed.
The line. Yeah. All right. Jesus Christ.
Screw Next up, Kurt one, Russell and Martin Short team up. After a Chicago businessman inherits a yacht, he totes his family to the Caribbean to claim it, but not having any skill at boating, he hires long-haired, one-eyed, low-life Captain Ron.
All right, people like this movie. I've never really seen the whole thing.
Haven't either.
I don't think anybody has.
But I think the critics are like kind of all right with it. I got to get back in. 59.
Oh, man, I'm right with you. I said 65.
Again, I don't want to be cocky. I said 39.
Captain Ron is rotten.
Uh-oh.
At 24%.
Oh.
Tinkerbell magic today.
Grubbing, wow. Man.
Gina with the knockout blow.
Have you seen Captain Ron? In
Evidently
all his glory?
Not.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
He's a like. Kurt Russell's a likable guy. I don't know.
Yeah,
he wears an iPad.
That's a family movie.
All right.
Next up, Sandra Bullock reprises her role as Annie Porter, the accident-prone ditz who's thrilled when her boyfriend presents her with 2 tickets for a cruise ship vacation to the Bahamas. And then the shit goes down in Speed 2, Cruise Control.
Ah, Cruise Control.
Cruise
All right.
Control.
Yeah, man.
All right, I got to get back into this one. I know this one was universally hated.
Yeah, considered one of the worst movies ever.
The first one was loved.
It was awesome.
And for that, I say 13.
Oh, I went even bolder. I said 0.
Wow.
I must have been way too nice. I said 20.
This is where it happens, everyone.
Speed 2, Cruise Control is rotten at
3%.
Oh! Damn it!
It's tightening up, people.
All right.
Our final movie stars Cuba Gooding Jr. and Horatio Sanz as two guys
Hold on a second. Let me say something, ladies. And person of color.
Person.
Stop rooting for each other. It's not like me and Brian are like, hey, did you hear something good happen to Dane Cook?
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Up top.
Woo! No, we don't do that. No. We go, fuck that douchebag. Yeah. You guys should be doing the same thing, you ladies.
Hey, let's keep up with the sorority mentality.
Don't root for the lady just
because
she's up here.
You can't stop him, Adam.
Person of color, don't root for the other person of color over there. They're not going to help you.
The hypothetical.
We're happy you're
doing
here.
Doing Whitey does. This is how we get ahead. We don't root for anybody, not even our own. We hate each other.
Yeah.
I'm not, Ryan, you rooting for me?
Far from it.
Yeah. Ask me if I'm rooting for you.
You rooting for me?
I wish cancer got you a few years ago. I don't.
It's a fair reaction.
Obviously, my percentage of winning goes up quite dramatically.
It's a strategic
wish of cancer. It's a statistical thing. I mean no harm toward the man. Or ill will. Thank you. Now, it's the last one, right?
No, second to last
one. Oh, second to last one. Brian, some room for you, buddy. Yeah.
This is the last movie.
Oh, what? Oh,
no room for you, buddy.
Oh, God, this is where I always eat it.
Cuba Gooding Jr. and Horatio Sands are two guys looking for respite from their bumpy romantic lives, and they find themselves in the midst of a very confusing situation in the comedy Boat Trip.
Is this the one where they're
It's the
gay?
Super offensive... to everyone else and funny to me premise where they have to pretend to be gay because they got booked on an all-gay cruise ship, which, by the way, has the Swedish bikini team on it as well, which is that same sort of trope they did with when Chuck met Larry or whatever, where they have to pretend to be gay. And then at a certain point, one of the bikini team members goes, could you put some salve on my back? Let me undo it. It's like, well, you're gay.
Think about building a shed.
And it's like, yeah. Yeah, that's the entire movie. All right.
Boat Trip.
The critics had to be angry because it was a pretty offensive,
offensive
portrayal.
Premise.
And I'm going to say, because of that, 6%.
Yeah. I think we're looking at a pretty big deficit here, so I said 11%.
11.
Right in the middle, I have 9.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Boat Trip is rotten at 7%.
Oh!
Shit. Oh, no.
And we have our scores.
One more movie.
Adam Carolla, you made the podium. Third place.
That's right, a podium.
81 points.
How many?
81.
81, that's good.
Balt Bryan lost, everybody. 59 points. Gina Grad, 34.
People to thank. Thank you all so much. I appreciate it. Thank the big man. Big man. Thank you.
When the shit goes down, good luck getting the lifesaver over those titties. That's all I got. That's all I got to say.
I'm going to die a winner.
You put that shit on like I put my tutu on. You start at the bottom. You don't go over the top.
She's big north of the border.
Thank you,
Joe
Buck.
Joe Buck knows. I love that. All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
We really should end the show now. I'm feeling awesome.
Wow. What was her final score, Dawson?
31. No, 34. I'm sorry.
Wow.
34.
Yeah, I knew there was something way off with 31. That's empowering. Wow.
It's too bad it's out at sea. It doesn't count. I mean, it's unsanctioned. It's
maritime law. It's
too bad.
And that was the Rotten Tomatoes game on a boat about boats.
Game number 95.
Doesn't get more meta than that. We want to thank you again for listening to Corolla Classic. Before we get out of here, got to remind you about Geico. Because if you own or rent, then of course it's hard work, but let's make it easy for you by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. So it's a no-brainer. You got to do it. It just makes life that much easier. All you gotta do is go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. How easy is this, Gio?
It's Geico easy!
That's right. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Corolla Classics returns tomorrow for our Sunday episode, and you'll get the second half of some of these
clips. Most of these episodes.
Yeah, so tune in, because we want to resolve some of that podcast that... You guys are needing right now. We can't just end it like that. So
no
make sure to listen. Yeah, exactly. Make sure to listen and enjoy, and we'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.